This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. So I'm pleased to welcome my colleague Mitchell Block, professor of documentary and film studies, who holds the John Anderson Chair here at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, to Real News. And Mitchell, you've been creating documentaries for the bulk of your career, and you teach documentary. Documentary, by definition, means this is real, what you're presenting. Is that not correct? So can you help those who are listening give some guidance to how to wrestle when something is so vividly portrayed on film, some guidance on how to differentiate between that which is phony, misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, and that which they can trust as real?
Well, actually, I think your initial assumption that documentaries are real is incorrect.
Yes, I was afraid you were going to say that, because of course, well, you'll explain it. Why are they incorrect?
Because it's cinema. It's a photographic or digital representation of reality that can be manipulated, both the picture and the sound. So actually, I think that even when you see a picture or a photograph or image and you hear a sound, you should have no reason at all to believe that it's accurate, truthful, or even what it pretends to be.
So then why should we watch this stuff and think that we are learning some sort of truth?
Well, I think if you can look at film two ways. You can look at it as entertainment, and you can look at it for the intellectual value of the entertainment. And much of what you see probably is accurate, but it's very easy to manipulate both the image and the audio track, and to for filmmakers or to alter time and to alter what people say and alter the image, and to give you one image and tell you it's one thing, and in reality, it's something else. I mean, for example, in the new film Roadrunner, which is about the suicide in life and death and adventures of a chef, the filmmaker revealed in an interview that he used artificial intelligence to create the voice of a dead subject while reading a letter, because it didn't exist in reality. And they couldn't create it by cutting together audio from the hundreds of hours of audio they had.
Right. So this was Bodain. This was Bodain and the email that was correct. Then voiced. But even there, although the voice was not a recording of him reading that email, it was his voice, or at least it was predicated on recordings of his voice.
Excuse me, it wasn't his voice. It was a computer representing his voice.
Right, right. But based on his actual voice, and it was the actual email.
Email is words.
Right.
And the voice has emotion and has timbre.
Yes.
And the filmmaker created the emotion in the voice. When I write an email, I write the email with the idea that it's possible this will be on page one of the New York Times. So whenever I write an email, I'm very cautious about what I say, because I'm concerned that at some point in the future, it might be public. And it's really critical to understand that words have a different meaning when you're reading them than when they're being spoken.
No question.
And so for a filmmaker to synthetically create a reading of a dead person of an email is taking tremendous liberty, because they're coloring the reading in such a way that the audience hearing it interprets the read differently than what the person might have said in reality.
So predicated on what you've already said, it seems that you feel there are these sorts of situations throughout documentary film. And so does that mean that we shouldn't look at documentary film as a reporting of the news, as real, as true, as honest?
No, it's, of course not. You have to understand that same way a journalist reading a teleprompter on television or a journalist writing an article for a paper or magazine or publication or a filmmaker creating images, all of it can be slanted and can be different truths. Eisenstein, in his writings about early cinema, talked about the shot and the reaction shot. And you can create totally different meanings by intercutting face with an object. So you have the same face and you cut it to a bowl of food or a beautiful meal or a little baby or a small animal or a horrific action like a soldier bayoneting a civilian in a peaceful march. The face could be identical in every one of the cutaways, but we would read the face differently because that's the nature of how we interpret the moving image. It's always about reacting to the shot that was before and the shot that's after.
And that plays to the reality that journalism cannot be objective. It is always subjective. So what is your assignment to news consumers that are looking at documentary? What should the audience's frame of mind be when the audience is watching a documentary in terms of trying to sort out what the meaning is that they're getting, what its role is in their understanding of the day's news?
Skepticism, of course, because you can't believe anything that you're seeing or hearing because it's so easy to manipulate it. I mean, in a global sense, one of the guests here where I'm staying works for the American military. And his group sends out disinformation to people in Iran and Russia and China from our government. And so this is going on a global basis where news, the media is being manipulated to tell different kinds of messages depending on whoever is creating it and paying for it. I mean, we're in a battle, global basis, for people's minds, for people's feelings, their hearts. And visual work, audio work, is being manipulated to tell different stories. I mean, in America, we have this alternate reality with the Fox News and the right-wing news where they're talking about the confusion of COVID. They're talking about Trump winning the election and all this nonsense. And yet, a substantial number of Americans believe this reality.
So if skepticism is your rule of thumb and your advice to the audience, then how can the audience feel informed? What would your quick guidance be to
that? Well, I think you have to get your information from multiple sources.
Bingo.
And mediate the information that you're getting and come to your own conclusion.
Bingo. And then perhaps begin to look with some element of trust toward a source of information that you see over time representing the news in a manner that seems to you to be relatively accurate, because it's never going to be exact.
Well, I think even that is subject to manipulation and ideological perspectives, truth in a sense. What is true and what isn't true is always an issue.
Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to sort out here with Real News. And we won't sort it out, but perhaps we'll provide some guidance for those of us who are continuing the struggle to figure out what is real news as we consume it. Thank you, Mitchell Block, professor of documentary and film studies, holding the John Anderson Chair at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, for joining us today on Real News. You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.